Shalom to all. Today's office on Hedjin Daf Mem Hey. We are starting Mem Talon Amud Beis on the bottom with the Mishnah. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas Marz Merim Sar Basi Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. And Mishnah says Hay Rochim Beis Askila Arba Amos when they're 4 amos away from the Beis Askila from the place where the guy's going to get stolen. Mavshitin Ois says Begadav they take off his clothing. Ha'ish Mechasan Ois Melfanov they cover a man in the front meaning they give him just a little loincloth to cover his private parts. Ha'ish Melfane Ume Acharel and a woman gets covered in the front and in the back because her private part is seen from the back as well. The Rebbe Huda that's what Rebbe Huda says. Whereas Vachamayim Lachamim say Ha'ish Niskal Arayim. A man is stoned unclothed. A woman is not stoned unclothed because it's embarrassing for her. The Gemara Mem Hayom Alav on top of Kitei is discussing this. Tanur Banu the Brassa tells us Ha'ish Mechasan Oisei Perakachon Melafanov VeIsha Shnei Perakim Ben Melafanov Ben Melachreha. A man is covered once in front of him, and a woman is covered twice, once in front of her, once behind her. Ibnei Shakula Erva. That's because all of her erva is seen both from the front and the back, as we explained. Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. V'chamer and V'chamer say that no Ha'ish Niskal Arum VeInu Ishan Niskal Saruma. A man is stoned without his clothing, but a woman is not stoned without her clothing. What's the reason the Rabbanu asked the Gemara? The answer is Amakar, because the pasuk says V'rugmu Oisai and they shall stone him. My Oisai, what's the emphasis of him Oisai? Elaine Vaughn say Oisai v'lay Oisai that we stone him and not her, meaning that only a man could get skila, not a woman. That can't be because V'aksiv a pasuk says V'haytseisa Isaiisha hu Oyasiisha hahi. So we see very clearly that a woman could get skila. Elamai Oisai. So what does Oisai mean? It must be Oisai b'leksusai ha Oisai b'leksusai. He when he gets stoned, when he gets skila, is without his clothing, but a woman when she gets skila, it's with her clothing. Whereas Rabbi Huda argues and says Oisai b'leksusai. When it says him, it's not specifically a man; it's just referring to the person getting skila, and therefore loishna ish loishna isha. There's no difference between a man and a woman. It's nothing more asked. Does that mean the Rabbanu are chayshish that a person is going to have improper thoughts? That's why a woman doesn't get skila with her clothing off because people might have bad thoughts. Rabbi Huda loy chayish lehura. Rabbi Huda is not afraid of this. We've heard the exact opposite. Did not we have a mission in regards to a saita that tells us a kain oichas b'gedeha, a kain grabs her clothing im nikru nikru. If they tear, they tear. Vim nifrumu nifrumu. If they become tattered, they become tattered. Achim galas liba. He pulls them until he reveals her heart. Vesayse asara. He undoes her hair. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda and Rehuda says im hayo liba noe. If she has a nice chest, lo hayo megaleu. He doesn't reveal it. Vim hayo asara noe. If she has nice hair, lo hayo asara. He doesn't undo it. And so it seems to be that it's exact opposite. Rabbi Yehuda does not want her to be uncovered, and the Chum aren't against that. So Rabbi explains that no. Hasamayinu taima over there in the case of Saita, it's totally different. Shema teitzim bezin zakah. Maybe she's going to leave bezin. She's going to be zakai, and she's not going to end up dying. And the young kaihanim who watch the whole procedure of the saita, they're going to go after her to try to do an avera because they saw her unclothed, and therefore we have to be careful. But hacha hamikato over here, she's being killed, so no one's going to be able to chase after her to do anything bad with her. Therefore, contribute she could be unclothed over here. And mechitim, if you want to suggest that asilus gur bechernaisa, that if a person sees a woman who's getting a skila unclothed, they're going to try to go after another woman to do something inappropriate. That's not a problem because Amar Rabba says gemiri, I have mesaira ein yitzahara shalat el misha ein avrais. Yitzahara is only over what a person sees, and if he saw this woman unclothed, but then she was killed, he doesn't now take that Yitzhahara and apply it to a different woman. However, Amar Rav, Rav asked the following, Rabbi Huda reviewed the Kasha, the Rabbanah, the Rabbanah like Kasha, there's only a steer Rabbi Huda on himself, and that's what we answered, but in the Rabbanah, there's no stira, there's a steer in the Rabbanah also, and we didn't answer that. And so therefore, El Amar Rav, Rav says, Rabbi Huda like Kasha, there's no steer Rabbi Huda on himself, Kishanina, like what we answered, Rabbi had already said, there's a difference between a woman who might remain alive versus a woman who's being killed by Skila, and the Rabbanah, not like Kasha, there's also no steer on the Rabbanah. Why is that? Amar Rav, because the Pasuk says, and all women will be chastised and they're not going to act like this nus. Meaning in the case of Saita, the fact that she's embarrassed and exposed like this is going to give a good musr to other women not to do what she did. Whereas Hach over here in the case of Skila, there's no greater musr than this, the very fact that she's being killed, so she doesn't have to be further degraded by being unclothed. And that's why the Chum hold that specifically over here. And the Chitim want to say, why not do both to her? Take off her clothing and stone her. So Amar Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, he answers that no, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, you should love your fellow as yourself. And what does this tell us? Choose a good misa for him. And that means that even when we're killing a person, even when Bezin is executing somebody, it still has to be as pleasant as a misa as possible. Therefore, there's no reason to degrade her extra by taking off her clothing, and she gets stoned with her clothing on. Now, Gemara asks, does that mean that which Rav Nachman just said is machlokes tanaim? This whole concept of broil misa yafet, because it seems to be the Rabbi Huda does not hold to this. So the answer is, it's not so. The kuli alma is with Rav Nachman. Everyone holds Rav Nachman. That we have to choose a good misa. Over here, what's a machlekes? Marsar of the Chum hold. That a person's personal embarrassment is more than their physical comfort, and therefore the woman would rather not suffer this degradation of being unclothed, and that means that once she gets stoned with her clothing on, it cushions some of the blow, and it's going to be harder to kill her. So that means she might suffer more physical agony, but she's okay with that. Whereas Marsar of Rabbi Yehuda holds that a person's physical comfort is more important to them than their embarrassment, and therefore a person would rather be stoned unclothed clothed so that the misa is quicker and they just get it over with, even though there's going to be embarrassment. Moving on to another mishnah, we continue discussing skila. Base of skila, the base of skila, the place where the person was pushed off of, was two kaimas, two heights tall, which means it was double the height of a person. And what happened? One of the edim who testified against this guy pushes him by his hips. If he falls onto his heart, meaning onto his chest, so then he's turned onto his hips or onto his back, and if he died with being just pushed off and that's it, they do not have to throw any stones at him. But if not, Hasheni, the second aid, he takes the stone and he places it on his heart, which means he throws the stone on the guy's chest. If he died through this, then everyone who's watching this are going to stone him with stones. Because the pasuk says that the hand of the edim should be against him first to kill him, and then the hand of everyone else will be there afterwards. Now the Gemara says, his height as well, that's three heights of a person, meaning the person is pushed off of this little cliff standing, and so it means he's falling three heights of man. Ask the Gemara, do we really need to be so high up in order for him to die? We have a mishnah to tell us, just like a pit, a regular bar that's deep enough to cause death, that's 10 tefachim. So too, any other type of bar that we're talking about has to be deep enough in order to be able to bring death, which is 10 tefachim. This is talking about if an animal falls into a pit and dies, it doesn't have to be just a bar, it could be any sort of digging in the ground, it has to be 10 tefachim deep. So you see, the height of 10 tefachim is deep enough for somebody to die. Why does it have to be three kaimais, three heights of man, which is much more than 10 tefachim? And the answer is, that's because the pasuk says, we need to choose a good death for him. He's going to die much quicker if he's pushed off of a higher height. So he should be pushed off a very high cliff. Why not push him off a 30-story building? And then he'll definitely die much quicker. That's much better. And the Gemara answers, because in that case, it'll be a nivel for him. His body's going to splatter all over the place, and that's not very pleasant either. Therefore, it's three heights of man, and that's how much he's pushed off of. To explain the Mishnah, we said, the one of the Edom pushes him. So I think where it tells us, we have a braisa. How do we know that a person gets pushed off? And this specifically referring to our Sinai, when the Torah was given, there was an Isser to not only go up onto the mountain, but also to even touch it or come close. The pasuk says, Lo yisiga bayad, a hand should not touch it, ki sakel yisakel, he will get stoned, a yara yiyare, or be thrown off, and behemam ish, so on and so forth. So that's what the Bryce is saying. How do we know if a person touches Har Sinai, he's going to be pushed off of a cliff? And that's because Talmud Lamed, the pasuk says, yarai, he's going to be thrown down. And Minachim Skila, how do we know he gets skila, stoned with stones? Talmud Lamed, because the pasuk says, sakel. And Minachim Skila ubedachia, how do we know that both things happen to him? Talmud Lamed, because the pasuk says, sakel yisakel, a yara yiyare, a double lashon. And Minachim Skila, how do we know if he was pushed off this cliff, he died, they're yotze, and they don't have to also throw stones at him? Talmud Lamed, because the pasuk says, oi, yara yiyare, mashma, just being thrown down is enough. And Minayin she'afu dairis kain, how do we know this applies even l'dairis? Meaning, in all future generations, when someone's chayiv skila for something else, all these dinim apply. Mem heim beis on top, Talmud Lamed, because the pasuk says, sakel yisakel. Going on to the next part of the mishnah, we had said, vimlav, if not, if the fellow didn't die just by being pushed off, aid hasheni noitel so even, so the second aid takes the stone. So the Gemara asks, noitel, the second aid is able to pick up the stone by himself. A tanya we've read, it says, Rupshim Rolazar Omri, he tells us, Evan Hosasham, there was an Evan, a stone, in that area, in the base of Skila, Masashal Shnebne Adam, it had to be carried by two people. Noitel, he would pick it up, Venosna Libai, and he would throw it onto the person's chest. In Mesba Yatza, if he dies from it, so he's Yaitse. So we see that this stone is too heavy for one person to pick up. How could you say that the second aid picks it up? So the Gemara asks, Lutamech, according to you, based off of your question that you asked from his Braisa, Tikshilcha Higufa, the Braisa itself is problematic, because what does it say? Masashal Shnebne Adam, that the stone had to be carried by two people. And then the Braisa right away tells us, he, an individual aid, picks it up and throws it on the guy's chest. How is that possible? The brass itself is contradictory. Ella, must be the midloy bahadachavre, that he picks it up with his friend, the two aid and pick it up together, but then once he's holding it with his friend, the first aid lets it go, and the second guy throws it down on the niskal, so it should come down much more forcefully. If you ever try to throw something together with somebody else, it doesn't really go so far or get thrown so strongly, because each person is going to release it at a slightly different time. Therefore, you're right. The two aid and pick up the stone together. Aid number one, who had pushed off the niskal, he lets go of it. And then aid number two quickly throws it down, and that's going to be much more forceful, and that will definitely kill the niskal. We continue explaining the mission of Imlav or Gimase Vechulu, that if that throw of the very big stone did not kill the niskal, then everybody throws stones at him. Ask the Gemara Tanya, Weaver Breset says, Me'olam lo yishana ba'adam, that it never had to be that a niskal got stones thrown at him by the people who were watching. So how can the Mishnah say this? The Gemara answers, Mikamina David, did I say, meaning did the Mishnah say, that it did happen like this? All I'm saying in the Mishnah is that if it's necessary, if the guy happens not to die when the big stone is thrown on his chest, so then everyone's going to throw stones at him. But bottom line is, it never actually happened like that. The Gemara continues, Amar Meir, we had stated previously in Brisa, Evan Ohaisav Achulu, that there was a stone in the base of Skila, and that's mashma, that there was a specific stone there that was designated for stoning people, and it's mashma that it was always there, and every single time it was used for a person who got Skila. But the problem is, it says, Achas Evan Shiniskoba, whether the stone the guy was stoned with, Vachas Eitz Shenitl Alav, or the beam that he was hung on, Vachad Saif Shenerek Bai, or the sword that he was killed with, Vachad Sudar Shenechnak Bai, or the kerchief that he was strangled with, Kulanik Barm Imai, all of them are buried with him. So we see that the stone is buried with him. How could you say that this stone was always there? And the answer is, no, the whole chiddush is, that you're right. Once the stone was buried with him, they right away took a brand new stone and set it up in the place in the base of Skila to be used on the next person. Ask the Gemara another question. Nigbarn Imai, the stone is buried with him. Vatanya Rasa says, Nigbarn Imai, it's not buried with him. So Rav Papa, my Imai, Rav Papa says, what does it mean with him? Imai bitfi sasai, it means with him in his area. It's not buried in literally the same grave as the Niskal. It's buried within the four amis of him, and that means with him. We continue discussing Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says as follows, Nikta Yad Ha'edim Patar. If one of the hands of the Edim got cut off after the Gemar Din, so then the fellow is Patar from getting Skila. And my time of why is that? To be Ina, because we need to fulfill the Pasuk that says, Yad Ha'edim Tiyabab Rishayna, that the hand of the Edim has to be against him first to kill him, Veleka, and that's not applicable because a person lost his hand, and so therefore his hand can't be against him. The Ed is not able to carry out this Misa, therefore the person doesn't get Misa. Asking, all right, El Me'at, this is really so. Edim Gidmin Me'kara Hachinami Pasli. What about Edim who are missing their hands in the first place? Does that mean that they're not able to give Eidos about a fellow who's Chayav Skila because they can't carry it out because they don't have hands? That doesn't make sense. We know that Edim who are missing their hands are able to give Eidos. And the Gemara answers that no, Shani Hasim, that case is different. Damar Karkas, the Pasuk says, Yad Ha'edim Shahai Sakvar. It's mashma that if these Edim had hands originally and then, for whatever reason, one or both of them lost a hand in an accident or something happened, then the person's not going to get stoned. But of course, if a person never had a hand in the first place, he is definitely able to be an aid regarding a case of Skila. I think we're asking another question. Maysfei, we have a mission that says, anytime two Edim come along and say, we give Edim about this fellow, that he had a Gemar Din in a totally different Bezdin, and so and so were his Edim, so he gets killed. And so we see that these two Edim, they're testifying about Reuven, let's say, that he had a Psag Din in a totally different Bezdin to be killed, actually bring about his Misa, even though the Edim that originally testified about Reuven are not the ones doing it. So we see that those Edim that testified about him don't have to do his Misa. As the answer is that no, Turkim Shmuel, Shmuel would explain this as follows, Behein Hein Edov, that it's actually the very same Edim, meaning the Edim, Beryl and Shmerel, that originally testified about Reuven in Bezdin A, they're now coming to Bezdin B, saying you should know that we gave Edus about Reuven in Bezdin A, and they pass him that he's Chayav Misa. And so actually the very same Edim are going to end up carrying out his Misa. But now in light of Shmuel's Din, we discuss this very fundamental idea. Do we really have to fulfill the Pasuk exactly as it's written? Which seems to be the Shmuel saying that. The Yad Ha'edim Tiyabab Yerushayna, these Edim, and they have to have hands, so on and so forth, like we've been discussing. But Tanya, we have a brass that says, Mois Yumas HaMaka Ritzeachu, that the Maka, the murderer who killed somebody else, he has to be killed because he's a Ritzeach. And what do we learn from here? Ainli El Misa Ksuvabai. I only know that he has to be killed with the Misa that's written about him. Namely, he gets Saif, we cut off his head. Minayin She'im Iyata Yochala Misa Misa Ksuvabai. How do we know that if you're not able to kill him with that precise Misa, with the sword, you should kill him in any other way that you're able to kill him? Because the Pasuk says, that tells us in any which way we should be able to kill him. Let's say he's running away and we can't kill him with a sword, but we could shoot an arrow at him or take a sniper rifle and knock him out. So that also is a valid way to kill him. And this clearly seems to be not like Shmuel, that we don't have to follow the Pasuk precisely the way that it tells us to do it. So the Gemara answers that no, Shani Hasam, in that case is different. Because the Pasuk clearly tells us, and we learn from that drasha that we could kill him in any which way. But in regards to other types of Misa, not a person that murdered somebody else, which is this Pasuk, then we actually would have to follow the Misa that the Torah says precisely and not any other way. Asking our why is that? Let's learn from this Pasuk, from a fellow who killed somebody else, to all other Misa's Bezdin, that we could kill him in any way, and the Pasuk doesn't have to be followed precisely. And the Gemara says, we can't do that. Because Ritzach, which is what we just mentioned, and Goel Adam, which I'll explain in a moment, that's Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad. Two Psukim, they're teaching us the same exact thing. And anytime we have two Psukim teaching us the same thing, we can't learn from there to somewhere else. If the Torah wanted us to learn from here to somewhere else, then it wouldn't have had two Psukim teaching us the same thing. It would have just had one Pasuk. Two Psukim teaching the same thing tells us that it's unique only in these two Psukim, only in these two instances, and can't be learned to anywhere else. We just explained Ritzach Hada Amran, we just mentioned the case of Ritzach, Goel Adam Mahi, what's the case of Goel Adam? The Tanya of Abraisa, the Pasuk says, Goel Adam Yomasa Ritzach, the Goel Adam is going to kill the Ritzach. This referring to when a person kills accidentally B'Shoigeg, so he runs to the Ir Miklat, the city of refuge, to be saved. But if he ends up leaving the Ir Miklat, the Goel Adam, who's the relative of the one who was killed accidentally, he's allowed to kill this fellow that killed his relative. And what do we learn from this Pasuk? Mitzvah Goel Adam, it's a mitzvah for the Goel Adam to kill this guy that left the Ir Miklat. gael. How do we know that if the fellow who is killed doesn't have a gael, he doesn't have a relative, the bezin appoints a gael, which literally means a redeemer, meaning they appoint a person to kill the roitzach if he leaves the yarmulke. Shneimar, because the pasuk says, b'figoy bai, when he encounters him, mikol makom, that's mashma in any situation that this person will encounter the guy who leaves the yarmulke and kill him. And so we clearly see from this pasuk that even though there is no official gael adam, bezin will appoint somebody to be the gael adam, and again, this makes it shneiks from abayim ke'achad, we can't learn to other places. Now we actually flip and we start proving Shmuel. Do we actually not require a pasuk to be followed precisely the way that it said? But no, we have a mishnah that says this is referring to Ben Sarah Meira, which is the subject of the majority of the eighth parak. Let's say one of his parents is missing a hand, a ilam or mute, a chiger or lame, a sumar or blind, a cherish or deaf. He can't be Ben Sarah Meira. Because the pasuk says and they grab him. That tells Vloy Gidman they can't be missing hands because then they can't grab him. And when it says the pasuk by Tziwa, say they shall bring him out. That tells us they can't be lame, because if they're lame, they can't bring him out. And when the pasuk says va'amru, and they shall say, that tells us v'loy ilman, they can't be mute, because then they can't say. And when it says the pasuk b'neinu zeh, they're telling Bezdin, our son, that has to be v'loy suma, that they're not blind, because they have to be able to see him, that it's our son, we know that it's him. And when the pasuk tells us that they tell Bezdin, einenu shemei b'kaleinu, he doesn't listen to us, it has to be v'loy chershin, that they can't be deaf, because they can't know that he's not listening to them explicitly if they're deaf. Now what do we learn from here? My taima, what's the reason why this kid is not a ben sayer meiret, unless we fit everything the pasuk just said, isn't it because we need to follow the pasuk precisely as it's written, and it's just like what Shmuel is saying? So Mar says, that's actually not a right from the pasuk. Shani Hasam, that case is different. The entire pasuk is extra. This whole discussion of the pasuk of Ben Sarah Meira are extra words, and so this is a unique drasha by Ben Sarah Meira. But the more continues, Tashma, we have a brisa as a proof for Shmuel. This has to do with an Irani Dachas, a city which the majority of people in it were Avid Avodah Zarah, and everything in the city has to be burned in the town square, in the public area. As the brisa tells us, in the Rechayv, if there isn't a Rechayv, there isn't a public area, then ein asas irani dachas, it can't become an irani dachas. The Rabbi Shmuel, as Rabbi Shmuel says, Rabbi Kiva, and he tells us in the Rechayv, if there isn't a public area, ein asas Rechayv, so they make a public area, main town square, and then they burn everything in it. Now, what do we learn from here? Ad kali pligi, up until here, there's no machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, el demar sar, just Rabbi Shmuel holds, Rechayv and Mekar be'inon, that we have to have an original Rechayv, meaning the city always had to have a main square in order to be able to consider it irani dachas. Umar sar, and Rabbi Kiva holds, Rechayv adahashtanam, we can Mekar dami, that even if we make a main square right now, it's considered like it always had a main square. We still see that everybody holds we have to follow the pasuk, and the pasuk says that everything has to be brought into the ruchayva shel ir, into the main town square. And so we clearly see that we have to follow a pasuk precisely. And so Gemara says, you're right, we do have a source from this brisa for Shmuel, but tanaihi, it's actually machlekas tanaim. Ditnan, we have Mishnah, tells us clearly this has to do with the mitzvah's tahara process. It says in the pasuk that the kohen takes blood and places it on his bayin yad, bayin regel, and oizen yamanis. Ditnan, the Mishnah tells us, ain't like bayin yad, bayin regel, oizen yamanis. If the mitzvah doesn't have a thumb, a big toe, or a right ear, he can never become tahar. Whereas Rebbe Lezer says, the kohen should just take that blood and put it on the place of the missing limb, either his finger, toe, or ear. Whereas Rebbe Shimon says, it's placed on his left one, and he's yaitse that way. And so we see we have machlokes tanaim, whether pasuk has to be followed precisely, or perhaps we could do it slightly different than the pasuk says. And we have another mishnah, continuing to discuss a person who got skila, calling a skull and nitlin, and Rebbe Lezer says, anyone who is stoned, they got skila, the body has to be hung up afterwards. Say only person who's magad, if they cursed Hashem or they served the avodah zarah, only those people are going to get hung up afterwards. Furthermore, a man is hung facing the people, but a woman is hung facing the eights, the beam of wood that she's hung on. That's what Rebbe Lezer says. A man is hung, but a woman is not hung up afterwards. Now, Rebbe Lezer told the chamim, Shem ben Shetach, he hung woman in Ashkelon. There's a story of 80 witches that Shem ben Shetach hung up, and so we see that we are supposed to hang women. So Amalei, they respond to him, Shmanim Nashim Tala, he hung 80 women that day, and there's a din that we're not allowed to judge two cases in one day, two cases of din and nefashos. And so clearly Shem ben Shetach was doing something unique, it was a Hairas Shah, it was something special for that time, and therefore we can't learn anything from it. The Gemara now explains Machlekes Chacham Reb Lezer, Tanur Banu Yiv Brasa, it says V'humas V'talisa, the pasuk tells very clearly, and he shall be put to death, and then you shall hang him. Yochel Kol Masu Nitlin, so you might think from here that anyone who's put to death by Bezdin gets hung up. And Tamalei, the pasuk tells us, Kikil as elkim toloi, loosely translated, this means for a hanging person is a curse of God. We're focusing on the word kilalas, and that tells us ma makalel zeshev eskila, just like a person who's a makalel, who curses Hashem, he gets skila, and he gets hung up afterwards, avkal shev eskila, so too, anyone else who gets skila, gets hung up afterwards. Sefer Blaz, that's what Blaz says. Where's a chamar, and the chamar arguing, they say that no, ma makalel zesh, shekafar be'ikr, just like this makalel, he was kaifer be'ikr, avkal shekafar be'ikr, so too, anyone else who's kaifer be'ikr, they get hung up, but not a random person that gets skila for something else, for example, breaking Shabbos. Asking where my kamifle gisu, what's a machlekes Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim? The answer is Rabbanan darshi klalu prati, Rabbi Lezer darsh ribui miute. The Rabbanan darshin by the way of klalu prat, and Rabbi Lezer darshins by way of ribui miut. Rabbanan darshi klalu prati, they darshin klalu prat. The pasuk tells us v'humas v'tolisa klal, and you shall be put to death, and you should hang him. That's a klal. It's a generalization. Then when the pasuk says ki kill us because the cursed of Hashem is hanging, that's a specification. Now ihav makarvi ladadi. If these two phrases were right next to each other, Amrin and I would say in bechalal masha prat that the way they're supposed to be darshined is the only thing included in the klal, meaning the only person who's supposed to be hung up after being stoned is somebody who's just like the prat, the specification. And that would tell us hani in midi achirin eloi that only people who are mekalal Hashem, they get hung, but not anybody else. Now since these psukim are distant from each other, they're not right next to each other. Ahani lebruya avayis kachavim. So it helps us to include something else, namely somebody who serves a vayzara, the damilei bechal mili. That person was kaifer be'ikr, and he's similar to mekalal in every aspect, and therefore he also gets hung up afterwards. Whereas Rabbi Lezer darsh ribui miute. Rabbi Lezer darshins ribui miut. The pasuk tells v'humos v'talisa riboy. That's a riboy. And then when the pasuk says ki kilas miut, that's a limitation. And iav makari la'dadi. If these psukim are right next to each other, lo yahav marbin elavitz chamim. The only thing I would include is somebody who does avayd zara, the damilei bechal mili, because that's compared to somebody who curses Hashem in every aspect. Hashem rachni me'adadi. Now that they're far from each other, ani libuay shar niskalin. It helps that we can include anyone who gets skila. They're going to be hung up afterwards. So that's machlokes Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow. Continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.